Let's go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. We find two groups of people there. There's Jesus, who had been agonizing in prayer and supplication to God. He was there with his disciples, who had been sleeping while Jesus was praying. But there was another group there. One of them was named Judas, the betrayer, and the crowd that he brought to arrest our Lord. When Judas walked up to Jesus, he greeted him with the word, Master, and gave him the kiss of betrayal. How do you suppose Jesus answered that kiss? What did he say? It might surprise you. After Judas had kissed him, Jesus said to him, Friend, why have you come? After Judas had betrayed him, our Lord called him friend. The scripture says, I was wounded in the house of my friends. The Bible says that they came and laid hands on Jesus, and behold, one of those with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Jesus immediately picked up the ear and replaced it. Jesus said, Peter, put up the sword. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Here we have the contrast between the sword and the cup. The sword wins by force, the cup by submission. It's not by the impatience of violence, but rather the patience of saints, which God would use to win souls. Often our Lord had referred to his death under the analogy of the cup. When he asked James and John if they were able to drink of the cup that he would drink of, they said yes. Now he speaks of the cup as not coming from Judas or the Sanhedrin, nor from the Jews or Pilate, but from his own heavenly Father. It was a cup which contained the Father's will. Nor did he say that a sentence had been laid upon him, but rather he himself, out of love, could not do otherwise. Am I not to drink this cup? Furthermore, our Lord is saying to Peter, revenge brings its own punishment. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Peter had yet to learn that he who seemed so weak was the strongest of all. If he had wished to, he could have summoned an army greater than any on this earth. In fact, he told Peter, do you doubt that I could call my Father even now, and he would send more than 12 legions and angels to rescue me? He could have, if he had so chosen to. If Jesus wanted to appeal to force, Peter's little sword would have been insignificant compared to the heavenly host under the great commander. His refusal to call the angels was not an involuntary bowing to fate or to pain that he might be purified. It was rather a surrender of his own rights, a voluntary withholding the use of his superior force for the sake of others. It was as though he was standing unchained, with perfect power to get away, yet submitting for the love of mankind. Turning to the bloodthirsty crowd around him, he said, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. This was done that the prophets might be fulfilled. Isaiah 53:12 tells us that he was numbered with the transgressors. Looking beyond the secondary causes, such as Pilate and the high priest, the Romans and the Jews, our Lord saw not enemies to be defeated by a sword, but a cup offered by his Lord. Love was the motive, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should have eternal life. Sin requires an atonement. Being a human being, he could act in the human name. Being God, he could redeem in the name of God. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.